Welcome to Halftime on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Great to have your company on a Friday where we're really starting to loosen things up and get you ready for a big sporting weekend. Going to be fantastic. One of great significance in the country as Anzac Day, of course, tomorrow. And a lot of things going on as a result of that. Of course, in the world of footy being on a Saturday, there's a hell of a lot going on too. And we'll be all over that on Melbourne's home of footy, 1116 SEN. Four games back-to-back-to-back-to-back tomorrow. Starting from 11 a.m. at Wellington in New Zealand, and finishing in Perth, Fremantle and Sydney till about 11 p.m. tomorrow night. Big day, of course. Friday night footy tonight, Richmond and Melbourne at the mighty MCG from 6 o'clock. The coach's box, Brad Scott with Hutto, Derm, Moons and Rowan Connolly talking football for an hour. It's been a wonderful initiative this year by the team upstairs. They've done a good job. The coach's box, Mick Malthouse, fantastic last week. Brad Scott will be great today. Brother Chris next Friday, then Alan Richardson the weekend after that, coach of the Saints. So there's a bit going on. Plenty of action coming your way. We'll try and keep you up to date with all the latest info, of course. And that news about Fade Bin Kalfala from the Melbourne Victory signing on for 2 more years is fantastic news on the eve of their finals campaign. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, with the team on Casual Friday. May or may not get to it. Jason Richardson is with us again. Hello, Richo.
Highly unlikely, but terrific to be with you, Danny Boy and the Persian Princess. 2 hours. Sit back, take your time, relax.
No relaxing. It's
going
to get involved.
Lots to talk about.
Go deep.
Lots to talk about. And I won't lie to you, I arrived here a little bit sort of scared as to what the Princess could bring to the table, considering last week we just had What's Up with Rita, just one.
Oh, yeah, that was disappointing. No. That was very disappointing.
I thought as a compensation, maybe a 5 today.
Well, now, what she did last week was just...
It was a three-parter.
Try and remodel. Sometimes you throw a...
Rehash.
You throw a dart at the board and you see if you can hit the bullseye.
Boom, 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 boom.
Didn't quite score last week, but she had a shot at the board.
We had a board full of calls.
Hi, Persian.
Hello, boys. I refuse all of this.
Can you say that again, please?
Hello, boys.
Thank you.
Followed by the great stuff.
I refute all that.
Okay.
It was a blockbuster three-parter What's Up.
No. Right. No.
The listeners reacted, and they're all I care about it and care about
you
too.
Emotional.
That's true. Now, what I need to know from you right from the start, though, look I.
Always look I, dear.
Always look I.
Always right in the eyes.
Look I. Are you right in with Half United? Like, are you just zoned in with no other commitments hovering above where you are sort of torn at the moment, want to be elsewhere? You're right zoned in. Look I.
Always
zoned in with us.
I think it would be awesome for us, all of us, and the listeners, if we sort of put in all the good stuff in the first hour. Because I do have a luncheon to eat. It's important. It's not.
It's not important.
No, I wouldn't leave.
Where's today's lunch that you could be up at your foregone?
And you know I love a Palladium
luncheon. Annie Peacock again.
Well, it's hey, great. I don't want to hear a negative about Annie.
No, I'm just saying. Sure, she's feeding you 3 meals a day at the moment.
You're outrageous.
Poor old Annie Peacock at Crown.
She's basically in the kitchen now.
Basically parenting you.
You are such. You're outraged. No, really, this is an important luncheon.
What
and
is
I really
the luncheon?
Need to be there. Well, that's not important, but it's you know it's
in honor. You just said it's important.
Well, it is important, but you know I don't want to be going into details about it.
Well, it's at Palladium, so it's not exactly a shrinking little
it's not
quiet
a secret.
It's not really a quiet little dinner for two.
Not a secret, but I mean, if it's at the Palladium.
Yeah, I don't want undesirables showing up. It's a sellout.
I know what we're doing. Well, you're checking to see what actually
what it is.
No, I know exactly what it's for.
Do you, though?
I do.
You know what? Really? This schedule of events that we've created.
Well, she's created it. We've just identified it.
We've created it because
well, you two were missing in action last night.
She was kicking cans down the street before we picked her up and dusted her off.
Telling people she was moving.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now she's got a schedule of events.
Schedule.
And,
you know, instead of
she's
just getting
that many of them,
a thank you, I'm getting copying more abuse. This is why I don't want to be here and I'd rather be lunching. But... So, yeah, first hour, let's just make it.
Have you worked out what the lunch is yet?
Yeah, I know what it is.
What is it?
It's in tribute of the great day we're going to have tomorrow, Anzac Day. It's a pre-Anzac Day lunch.
Oh, that's the one Jack's going to.
Jack who?
Our man Jack Jones, who we spoke to the other day from the Bombers.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Anzac Day Eve luncheon.
Grandfather of Sarah.
Grandfather of Sarah from Fox Footy.
There's a lot of footy types there.
So,
I spoke to Jack about this the other day.
Now, this is an interesting topic.
What is?
Have you...
I would judge that.
Have you accepted, and therefore there is an empty seat with your name card there, and you're going to rock in late? Or have you said no and then going to catch for our praise?
Well, given that I work with two supportive and sensible men, I accepted and presumed that I will be there, you know, maybe fashionably late, maybe 15 minutes.
Why would you do that when you know that you're busy till 2 minimum every Friday afternoon?
Minimum.
Well, it's minimum. You know.
Well, it's an employment agreement. We've made this agreement.
But absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes if I'm missing for an hour or so.
I'll tell you what makes the heart grow even fonder.
Yeah.
Just being here at some stage.
that's a novel idea.
So there is some poor person at the moment looking next to...
Thinking, can I eat that chicken?
Will I? I've got the beef. Should I swap with the chicken? Is she going to walk through
at any
time? Do not
touch my food.
What is she going to do?
Things will end very violently.
I've got the lamb shanks.
I know if my food's been interfered with or moved even.
You wouldn't know.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Yes, you would if you sit down and suddenly there's chicken, beef, chicken, beef. And
I'll do a count.
Chicken. You're like, hang on.
there's been a break in the system.
There's been an incident.
Who's touched my plate?
Chicken goat.
Halfie, I need to seek your counsel here and also our audience on 9429 1116. I'm gonna give of myself something.
I like that when you give.
When you're in your early to mid-40s, is it just me?
Yes.
Or drinking beer is a bit harder to digest than it was 20 years ago when you could just have a really good session. Now,
hang on, you brought up a few issues.
Okay, there's a lot of issues.
Are you bringing up, is this the Tony Abbott skull you're
sort of
referring to?
No, I'm loving what Tony's doing, but I'm noticing amongst my mates,
yes,
there is a propensity to move towards a wine very early in the
evening,
in any sort of a gathering,
right?
As opposed to what used to be strictly a beer thing.
Yeah, no, that is a good point.
But
now,
is this
an older indigestion, bloating? I mean, am I on my own here? Am I on an island?
No, I don't.
Are
think
you
Robinson
me?
Crusoe here? I might be paddling in that canoe.
Have you noticed it? Is this a sign that we're getting ancient?
I've embraced it. I haven't actually thought about the mechanics of it and why it's happening, but I've certainly embraced that. Just exactly
so, have you started to notice after you have a few jars, then you start to think,
oh, a bit bloaty. Oh,
so it's the bloating issue, not so much a heartburn.
It's a...
If you're mixing your beers and your wines or your spirits, isn't the effect worse?
No, wine, that's fine. Wine, then beer, oh dear.
What is that again?
Beer and wine.
Beer, then wine, that's fine. Wine, then beer, oh dear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the old chestnut.
I can remember that.
It's an old chestnut.
Nathan sent me a text straight away. Bang, straight in there. I'm hearing you, Richo. Jason in Hurstbridge says, you've gone soft, Richo.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the various lines. And I'm willing to cop that. But I'm just wondering
Is there a moment that kicks in?
I don't recall a moment.
Is it a vanity thing with you blokes? Because I reckon real men, manly men, wouldn't care if they feel a bit bloated. They'd just let it all hang out and have a couple more beers.
You can't be bloated.
They wouldn't be getting onto the Pinot straight away you
it's
two.
It's more of that.
We start with a Merlot and then we move up.
It's just sort of that feeling.
Yeah, no, that is a shocking.
And it's interesting because what I've started to observe, because let's be honest, when you're around your mates now and you're working on a radio show with you, I'm always observing for future material.
Yes.
I've actually started to observe a lot of my mates when they say, you know, yeah, mate, you're hooking. The first two, they're bah, hoo, hoo. And then the third hook is when I hear everyone's still happy with going down that road? Still happy with a beer? I know that he's internally thinking, I'm starting to get out of this. Up a little bit. I wouldn't mind just mixing it up a bit.
Change the setup here.
What about those low-carb beers? Are they less bloaty?
Well,
a bit of feedback coming through via the SMS. And they're calling in as well, 9429 1116. We'll get to them. Nick in East Malvern. G'day, Nico.
G'day, Half, Richo, and the wonderful PP. Take it, Richo, as a heightened level of sophistication, A, and B, the beneficial antioxidant effects of red wine. I would claim it on that rather than ignore the bloating feeling that the beer gives you. Just move on quickly to the red wine for those two reasons.
I'm with Nick. I reckon a lot of the choice about switching from beer to wine is just sort of a sophistication thing. As you get older, your taste.
Well, it's interesting because Steve sent me an SMS and says that I'm no longer beer fit.
Yeah, he did say that. It's an interesting phenomenon, being beer fit. and when do you lose your condition? And what does it take to lose your condition?
Steve says I'm no longer beer fit. But and then what about this? I've touched on a nerve here. And I think this is a cleansing hour, half.
It always is.
Because Damo in Warren Turner, and he could just sense his relief.
He says the shoulders just drop.
He says, thank God, Richard. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, look, I think you've touched on a point.
He's been living in private shame all
and
this
then
time.
Anthony from Craigieburn right. says, oh, my God, that's why I'm on the ciders.
No, there's no reason to be on ciders.
No reason
unless
at all.
You are some painful, shameless hipster. I am anti-cider. I will not have it.
I'm with you on that.
When people have cider, I do judge them. I just want to put it out there.
Make no bones about it. I do judge you. Thank you, Nick.
And Blake. The same with those weird drinks like chocolate stout. No. Have a beer or have a wine, okay? There's no reason to be introducing these mixes.
God love you.
I don't like
you
it.
You love men with hair.
Stop messing with stuff.
Bloody.
That's right.
Hashtag.
Stop messing with stuff.
Blake in Richmond's on the line. G'day, Blake.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Hello, good, thanks. you bang on, Richard. I'm only 30, and I have succumbed to this. You arrive, have a stubby or two, and then maybe a Cab Merlot, maybe a Cab Sav.
And does that make you and I, Blake, does that make us lesser men?
No, not at all, because a mate of good cheese and wine goes down a treat anywhere.
I like to introduce a Grenache into the mix, a Grenache mix, that kind of... Is a good ending to another.
So the princess, if you were in the dating scene,
just a hypothetical here,
you just a big hypothetical,
not important right now,
and your date rocked up in a knit with a V-neck with a little bit of chest hair popping out, and you thought, wow, he's looking good, a bit of a stubble, a nice dimple,
dimples,
he's got a dimple,
this is it,
and
this is
he's
great.
Got a real. You know, real sort of pep in his step, and he's got a solid verbal game.
Solid.
Great verbal game, and you're going, this bloke's a keeper.
I'm starting to feel good about myself here.
And then he goes for a cheeky Merlot early. Are you judging him?
You know what? No, I won't judge a cheeky Merlot, but if he ordered cider, off.
Is that a deal breaker?
Maybe not. Maybe if everything else that you've just described is happening, I'd have to think about it. It would go from a done deal to a big question mark. Don't order the cider.
That just means, because I don't like cider, our deal is done.
Oh,
it's done, baby.
Well, we're talking about you, were we?
We're talking about you, were we?
I put myself in that seat very quickly.
Okay.
Steve's in Clayton. G'day, Steve.
Good afternoon, gents and beautiful lady. Richo, you got to push through it, mate. My survival kit when I go out now is phone, wallet, keys, and about three canisters of my Lanta.
canisters.
Now, Steve, why is that? Have we got a doctor that can call up and actually diagnose what's going on with us all?
It's the heartburn, mate. I get, after about the third beer, I can feel the heartburn knocking.
Why, though?
I don't know. It's probably nothing to do with the pizza I've had before it. Or,
correct me if I'm wrong, it didn't happen when you were 24 and you're into your 15th pot, did it?
You didn't recognise it if it did happen, but I thought you probably just pushed through it.
I don't know.
It's great courage. All forms of courage, Richo. We know that.
Harvey.
We know that.
Can you put this as an agenda for Fit and Well with Cobes? Can we get a doctor on?
I'm a chance to get a doctor on after the break. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ring my man.
We need someone to explain this. I thought I was Gilligan, but it's a phenom.
No, who am I? Thurston Howell, the third. I'm with you there.
Meaty.
I've got a scarf on around my neck and I'm having a hell of a time. I got a kerchief. $100 voucher, Steve. Stay on the line to Ribera's restaurant.
You see, we've got a professor with us.
I could make a radio out of coconuts. I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't do that.
How good was he?
He was a clever... Make a radio out of coconuts. Find a way to get off the island or use that radio to talk to someone off the island.
What about what we learn about Kevin? What we learn about Kevin Bartlett? He used to be an apprentice... apprentice
telecom
instrument repairer.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Very learned gentleman is our Kevin.
And he said he did it for 21 years.
What?
And I said, what, so if I could send a violin? He said, not that sort of instrument.
What sort of instrument?
Like an ampimeter and a thermometer and a watch and a...
I want to bring in stuff now. Well,
that's
I'm
right.
I'm going to leave it for him, see what he does.
Did you hear his explanation of how he fixes a lot of them? Like this.
He said, you'd be amazed what could be fixed with a hammer. We really have today on Casual Friday, 25 past 12. Richo and Rita with us till 2. Then, of course, Sports Central Plus. And after 3, Nathan Thompson for the Friday Footy Preview. It's going to be a huge Friday Footy Preview. Adam Peacock and Matty Russell in between there as well for the A-League and NRL updates and previews. You really have hit a nerve here with our audience, Richo. I cannot believe the feedback we're getting from our listeners. Admittedly, mostly male. Having a lot of female interaction just at this stage, Persia.
Women are very conscious of bloating. So have you seen all those yogurt ads? Apparently,
does that
counter the effects of bloating?
So can you still snap pots like you used to?
Snap pots? I don't understand what that means. Speak English. Oh, you mean?
Drink beer.
Oh, I've never been a massive beer drinker. I like to have one every now and then.
So when you were growing up, you were down at the Skinny Dog in Kew, just sucking pots with the boys.
I think in my day, the chicks who had pots, you know, as their preferred choice were of the Bogan variety. Not the Bogan. Oh, no, I'm talking back
Hang
in
on.
My day. Back in my day.
You're saying that they're not anymore?
Hang on.
We're going back a few years.
There'll
not
be some
many,
girls of your genre who will really, really disagree with that.
Yeah, because they're probably bogans and that haven't admitted to themselves. But now, there's so many varieties of beer that you don't have to be a bogan to be knocking them back.
Another an SMS from Dino Elliott. Totally agree. Another rhyming. Here's another rhyming rule.
Oh, right. Yes.
White after red, straight to bed.
Ooh.
Red after white. Have a good night.
Nice work, Dino.
See, I don't agree with that because if I have had other alcohol and then I have a glass of red, I'm very, very sleepy. I need a nap immediately almost.
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying red after white, have a good night. And I'm saying, no, you go straight to bed.
So he's saying have white wine and then move over to the reds.
Yeah. Don't do the reverse order.
Yeah, but if you go the reverse order,
you're in trouble.
You go straight to bed. Yeah. I'm saying, no, you go straight to bed if you have red next. I'm disputing. I'm calling bulldust on that rhyme.
Oh, okay.
But you've gone hard early on your other
Not necessarily
choice.
Hard, well, but, you know, at a decent pace.
You've indulged in your other preference at the time, at the initial proceeding.
Yeah.
And then you've ventured onto the red. So by then, that's 5 hours in anyway. You're tired. You've got to go to bed anyway.
No, if I'd gone for something other than the red, I'd still have plenty of energy left. But have the red. Nap time.
I've gone to a medical practitioner.
Yes.
What do they know?
During the break, my man Bernie. My man
Dr. Bernie.
Dr. Bernie. And he said, look, I'm currently treating patients, so leave me alone. But
it is like middle of the day. Middle of the work
it's
day.
Peak period for GP.
Right.
Peak period. And he's very, very busy out there at the Manningham Club and Manningham Centre. But he says, Dr. Bernie, it's pretty simple. Stop drinking so fast. That's what he says. He says the pace of play might be an issue. So we need to be bowling slow over rates.
But you've acknowledged that. You've acknowledged that, you know, this is the pace you used to always drink beer. It's not like, you know, you used to.
No, I haven't increased the pace. But what he's saying is maybe to stop the bloating, we'll get to our callers because we've got a stack of them who want to talk about it.
We're gobbling too much air. That's the problem when you're going with the big, big mouthfuls.
Oh, so I've got to do tight lips.
You need tight lips.
You need to sip your beer. Appreciate it. Maybe sniff it a little.
Don't
gargle
sniff
it.
Do I have to tight lips?
I think you need the tight lip.
Wow, they sink ships.
Well, it makes sense. When you've got the big open pot and you're going big mouth style, there's a lot of air that's going in with that.
I've never thought of it. So I should just drink it out of beer bottles because they've only got a little hole.
There you go, Stubbies. It's Stubbies all the way from here.
Oh, okay.
I think that's where we go from here, Richard.
Andrew's joining us from Selby. I think he has bloating.
How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, good. With the bloating, just have a glass of tomato juice. It'll fix you for the whole night.
I do like a glass of tomato juice.
Do you have this before you start the drinking? Or?
No, when you start feeling bloated, you have some tomato juice. And
midstream.
Maybe you can have a Bloody Mary. Does it work if you have it in a Bloody Mary? Yeah, see?
Yeah, and if you get a bit of heartburn, you get some Lozic from the doctor, it'll fix you up beautiful.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if we should be
going to the doctor just so that we can push through and be beefy.
You know, it seems like, we're encouraging our listeners to drink more than they should be. We're finding ways for them to keep drinking.
No, this is be healthy.
Irresponsible by you, Richo.
No. This is an issue for guys of our age.
People will socialise.
Who want to socialise and are there with their mates.
We need
and
alcohol
suddenly
to socialise.
People will have alcohol to socialise. We're not stopping that.
To.
We can't stop that.
We can't stop that.
We're enablers.
We don't want
saying.
To stop that.
Probably.
But
alcoholics
what we're saying
out
is
there,
no one wants to be feeling bloated.
No one wants to be bloated. Have some yogurt. Have one of those woman yogurts.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're going
to
do after.
That's going to do a treat. You're in a shout with five blokes. You're at the pub. Anyway, I'm going to sneak off for a yogurt.
I'm going to go get me some Optiva. Get a six pack for me.
I've got a Yoplait. I'll put it in the bag.
Liam in Abbotsford. Liam, talk to us.
G'day, guys.
G'day.
Hello.
Yes, I'm good. G'day. How are you?
Welcome.
Yeah, good, thanks. So part of the reason why a lot of people get bloating with beer now is because they've dropped the alcohol percentages to allow it to be sold cheaper, because beer is getting taxed now at higher rates depending on the alcohol content. So with alcohol being a natural preservative, they're putting more preservatives and things like that in it now. So, you know, your VBs and your Carlton drafts and
so it's changed.
It's changed, yeah. Shit. So, you know, back in the day, all those beers used to be up around the 5% mark. And I think now VB's about 4.6 or something like that. And that is, that's part of the reason. I used to work in a bottle shop and used to sell VB by the truckload. And when they changed the percentage, I had guys that were drinking at VB for 20 years coming in and saying and returning their slab, saying that I can't drink it anymore because it's giving me a stomach ache.
Well, there you go. You know what? We need an expert.
It's a bit of science.
You know, we've got an expert there in Liam, and appreciate your call. I don't know contractually due to the fact that he works on another radio station, but I can't think of a man who is better qualified for us to sort of delve into. I'm wondering if William Brownless, when he's snapping pots, is he getting
heartburn? He's got a lot of room to bloat. So I think it's not about room.
I don't think he's ever got out of nick, though. Like, he's been in...
He's been beer fit
for quite some time now.
Okay. Well, that's...
I reckon he'd be the type to push through as well. I don't think he'd stop just because, you know, he was had a bit of heartburn or was feeling a bit bloated.
Oh, you're judging me again. what about this one? Rita, I'm a 41-year-old female, 1993, Clyde Hotel... The Clyde at Carlton.
The Clyde.
I used to love snapping pots.
Excellent. Great work. I applaud you, but I'm just saying, back then, maybe you were a bit of a bogan.
Great work. This hour for Subway, new Mexican chicken sub, goes a cracker with a couple of pots. It is a great chicken sub, the Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Check it out today. And a bit of feedback off the SMS. Man bloating is a serious issue.
Man bloating?
Thank you, Casual Friday, for addressing the big issues in society. Yeah, this is what we do. This is what we do. And we thank you for your feedback.
And I've got another SMS that said they've got an omen tip for Rita. At Flemington tomorrow in the VRC St. Ledger, race 6, number 13, Prince of Persia. It's 100-1. Now that's value.
9:49, 11:16 with your Bulldust on Casual Friday. Rich and Rita with us until 2 o'clock. It's great to have their company. It's even better to have yours, particularly when you're calling Bulldust. There's some great prizes to give away to our best callers through the afternoon. The Batoki Hams, the Keysborough Golf, the Comics Lounge Gold Passes, the 2015 Champions Collector Card Packs, the red and white wine from AR Property Investments, the $100 Concave Boot Voucher, the Elmore Oil Packers, all to give away to our best callers on Casual Friday. 9:49, 11:16. With your Bulldust. I'm going to open up Bulldust today.
I'm somewhat distracted.
I'm going to open up Bulldust on why professional athletes aren't doing what AJ Francis is doing. NFL player AJ Francis, right? He is a Miami Dolphins defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And he is getting, what's his contract? He signed a 1-year deal with the Dolphins this year that will pay him $510,000. But he didn't get a signing bonus in that deal. Yeah. And none of it's guaranteed. So it's a pay-for-play type situation for my man AJ.
So if he's not getting games, there's no pay.
Yeah, no cash.
No cash.
You know what he does on the side?
I don't know, endorsements, sponsorships, maybe. Nice.
Wouldn't he be busy?
He's 6'5" and 330 pounds.
So he's not a jockey.
No, he's not a jockey. You know what he does? He's an Uber driver. He's taken up Uber driving to supplement his income.
It's nuts.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Doesn't anyone else do that?
So is he a...
Why is it Buddy Franklin?
Is he a star?
Imagine, Uber driver.
Imagine picking up your Uber car, rocks up, and it's Buddy driving. Just supplement your income, mate.
Don't judge me. Number of NFL players are broke within 5 years of playing. The ones who are actually decent and have multi-million dollar contracts, that is not like this dude, they just squander it. I mean, you'd think they'd learn from those that came before them.
Well, he hasn't squandered it yet because he hasn't got it. So that's why
at least he's working.
He's
and making
got
money.
Initiative.
Good on him.
He's making initiative. This tweet from him was very.
What do you
very
get
humorous.
As an Uber driver?
Oh, well, you get money. And I don't know what.
Oh, that thanks
is.
For that.
This tweet from him caught my eye the other day. People ask me why you would want to be an Uber driver if you play in the NFL. You know what's better than NFL money? He says, more money.
More money.
And that just seemed to be the way of a lot of athletes out there in the States. More money, more money, more money. We don't have that situation here in Australia. No Buddy Franklin Uber driving.
That is
Hodgie
funny.
Hasn't driven past offering
so
to,
he's got
to
five,
take me
he's
to
earning 500 now.
But some of the lesser players do other jobs, don't they, still? Or is that, that doesn't happen at that level?
Like
extracurricular.
Apprentice instrument repairer.
They do. Say, they're encouraged to actually, you know, either study or work, so they don't get into
day
trouble.
Day a week.
Yeah.
So that's one bulldust. Any other? Oh, hang on. There's got a stack of bulldusts coming up.
We need to give them a call.
Also, we've got a hashtag. Bretto and Beaky's got has started a hashtag. Beat the bloke bloat.
Thank
that's
you,
good. And then one of the doctors has given us a call, a little SMS, and said, listen, Nexium or Somac?
No, I check your local guides for those ones. We
don't
encourage our doctors to prescribe things as opposed to us on the radio.
Okay, yeah, good point.
I would think.
So I presume that was a little antacid.
It may well be. I'm not quite sure of the situation.
Oh, okay.
Encourage you to see a local GP before ingesting anything out there. Written, spoken, authorised by the Casual Friday team.
Can I call a controversial bulldust?
Not yet. You can hold your controversy. I like that.
You're getting scared, aren't you?
Yes. Rod's on the road. Hello, Rod.
Yeah, g'day. How are you guys?
Good.
I want to call bulldust on bar staff and their managers.
Why?
Why?
Well, I've got 3 points. Number one is, no one knows how to make a bitters lime and lemon or lemonade anymore. Every time they put the bitters in, they put half a bottle and it turns all these different colours.
Oh, I hate that.
That's my first one.
Yep.
The second one is when you order 3 drinks or 4 drinks, they pour the beer first. By the time you get your drinks back, you've got no head left on your beer.
Hate that.
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
Hate that.
And the third one is when they do eventually give you your beer or your mixed drink, they give it to you with their hands at the top of the glass where your lips are supposed to go.
Oh, they do not.
They do so. You've got to get around and have
a look.
They're
always low on the shaft. They're not up the top.
No, mate. I did it back in the 80s and 90s, and if you did that, you'd cop a whack.
Right, that's unacceptable behaviour from mine.
You've got a dirty mind,
any bar staff listening?
The way
will
you
be,
said it, you wanted me to think that.
We'll be altering
no,
their distribution
the
method.
Seed in.
I think it's enough seeding from you two. Stay on the line, Rod. This doesn't happen. You can just hold this wherever you like, preferably down the bottom end of the bottle, Richo.
Okay.
Two bottles of wine, one red, one white. Thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way.
Never,
we solve the property investment.
Honestly, I haven't seen bar staff grab pots of beer up at the top.
No, I can't recall that happening.
Come on.
I can't recall
it's always
that
shaft action with them.
Correct.
I can't recall that. Chris is in Mildura. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, g'day, people.
Hey, Chris.
I just want to call Bulldust on. There's an ad on SEN about pre-apprenticeship courses, and the young kid says, I went there, and the boss pointed to that, and he said, what's that? He said, I had no idea it was an engine. I'm thinking, if you don't know that's an engine, don't go for a mechanic apprenticeship.
My read into that
is
that there's something in the engine
that he
pointed to the engine, but it was something on the engine or in the engine. Perhaps.
That's the way I read it.
That's
too,
the
Harvey.
Way I read that, Chris. But when you say it like that, it does make a bit of sense.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Chris.
A bit of bulldust there. Nick's in Reservoir. G'day, Nick.
G'day, guys and Rita.
Hiya, Nick.
Now, is it my eyes? I want to call bulldust. Blake Shin yesterday seems like he didn't have any jocks on.
Now, yeah, the wardrobe malfunction.
Explain the situation
How
with Blake
happen?
Yesterday.
Looks deliberate to me.
Not deliberate.
I'm sorry, I've seen a lot of racing. I've never seen a jockey.
Know. Well, they don't malfunction often, do they? And
He had no elastic suddenly in his pants.
Yeah, it broke. In his jodpers. Well, and therefore they fell down.
Where are the strides? Where's the...
Does he have elastic in the strides?
Man.
Is he
weighing in. You don't want to be... You don't wear anything that you don't have to.
You can't get the 5 grams on.
You don't... Anything... With
elastic
guys like
doesn't
him,
weigh much.
Hey, they are down to the minute amount. So you've seen when you go heavyweight boxer, what do they do before a title fight?
Getting their jocks?
Put the towel up. Or...
they're getting their jocks.
And then...
Jocks. Jocks and flex.
And then if they need just that little bit, what do they do?
Jocks and flex.
No, they don't. They get the towel off. Gets out, yes. and the jocks are off.
Well, why is he cutting it so fine? You need to have some support for your boys bouncing up on the saddle.
Well, the amazing thing about it is...
The boys need support, Richard.
I know. My boys love a home.
You've got to house them.
Now, Nick, interesting that there has been... That has gone viral.
It's gone around the world.
It's absolutely. Everywhere. It's been in news reports, television news reports all around the world.
Mm. Well, you Blake can't Shin. Just be mooning then, the rest of the field.
Blake was very funny because last night he sent a tweet out the front in a shopping centre of the Bond shop and pointed to Bonds and said...
Oh, see, that's what I mean.
Said, no, I need a bit of those?
There's a deal coming his way.
This is some sort of marketing strategy.
No, it's not.
I'm with you.
Yes, he's going to sign a fat endorsement deal. And the next time the strides go down, he'll be wearing Bonds or some other brand.
They wear those clear stockings. So it does look like there is moon. But
sorry.
Clear stockings? Oh, they weigh something. Why would you wear clear stockings?
They're a lot lighter than
underpants. They are, but why would you wear them?
Just
to house the
stockings on underneath.
There's utilization of the stocking.
It seems unnecessary.
So there is a housing of sorts
in a female styled stocking. Like, in fact, you know what it is? It's a sheer pantyhose.
Is it really?
Yeah. That is. And what size would they get? Because they're tiny. That would have to get going for the extra.
I wasn't
extra
aware there was sheer housing of the boys.
No. And I'm not comfortable with it.
A pantyhose.
Why can't they just let them be free? Like, really, it's only a couple of minutes, the race. Do you need pantyhose?
Have you seen what they're doing on top of that horse?
Bouncing
along. I'll let you discuss
it
during the
break. Do
you want
it free
12 to 1.
While there's bouncing?
Pair of casual Friday for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Oh. Check it out. Deliciousness.
Love one.
I would even inject some honey mustard sauce under that. I'm not even sure if it's part of this Mexican chicken sub, but anything with honey mustard is better. And Mike in Port Cook wants to call Bulldust. G'day, Mike.
The Chinese government is contemplating a ban on having strippers at funerals. Do the 500 people who show up at all of these funerals, I call it Bulldust.
Hang on.
Sorry.
Say that again.
So I don't know if you've heard this, but the Chinese government have now decided that they're going to stop strippers from being called at funerals.
What's the role of a stripper at a funeral?
I've actually seen the pictures. It's a way rich families sort of show off their wealth at a funeral. It's one of the things they do.
What, they pay a girl or a guy?
No, girls.
Just girls?
Yeah, well, the pictures I've seen have been girls.
Right.
To take all their clothes off to music.
Yeah, there's a pole. They're dancing.
There's not a pole.
There's a pole.
At a funeral.
Well, you can't have strippers without a pole. What are they supposed to do? Just
dance?
Do a lap dance?
Why couldn't you boogie?
Just dance?
Boogie without a pole?
You put someone on a chair on the stage.
Jamie Lee Curtis got a rhythm up. Oh, she had a pole, didn't she? No, she didn't.
Have you been to the Star Bar on a Sunday night? There's no poles. You can still boogie.
You're not taking your clothes off of the
Star
Bar.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about the pole.
What is happening? No, if you've got a stripper, you need a pole.
Hang on, this is nonsense. So you're at a funeral.
Yeah.
Aunt Beryl's died. Aunt Beryl's died. And we
Beryl
pay homage to her with a stripper.
Beryl doesn't want a stripper.
It's a way for Beryl Chan's family to show how well she did in life. She's very wealthy. She can afford to pay women to come and take their clothes off at the funeral.
That's the rationale
as I've read it.
What's wrong with the gift bag?
Is it in between the smellies? Is it in between the smelly smoke?
That is extraordinary.
You know when they get the tin out and they go over the top?
Stuff.
Yeah,
these days in Western countries, men and women are increasingly organising their own funerals. If a bloke wanted to have strippers, should he be allowed to, or should the family overrule that wish afterwards? If he says, I want, you know, the Spearmint Rhino gang at the funeral doing their thing.
Am I just a fuddy duddy? I don't see the role of the stripper.
I'm trying to work out
what
the
role
is.
It's his dying wish. That's what he wants for his funeral.
Hang on, let's get back to Beryl Chan.
Well, Beryl may have been a fan of the Spearmint Rhino
girls. Beryl didn't want Elektra coming over just helping her brother
Elektra.
out. What's going on?
Is it purely on the stage, or do they move to the customers for a lappy?
Maybe the special deceased members get some sort of a little lap dance, a little motorboat action. I don't know.
You're
the one asking me.
Too far.
Bloody Beryl's funeral and there's motorboat action.
Oh, poor old Beryl. That's unnecessary for Beryl. She's saying goodbye. She didn't want the laptop.
Drew wants to know if there's pallbearers.
Well, we don't have to try when China are making up laws like they're making. That's one of the things we have learned today. Welcome to Casual Friday. If you've just joined us, you missed a fairly entertaining first hour, I would have thought. A bit of fun and frivolity from the team and the contributors as well. The calls and the SMSs just entertaining us no end throughout the first hour. Keep that coming through the second hour. Richo and Rita are with us. Of course, host of the Expression Session on SEN's first week of existence, Jason Richardson. And Wonder Woman, Ripper Rita Panahay, is with us until 2 o'clock.
Have we dispensed with our Indian names already?
Oh, I can't remember them.
Yours were lifts by two
lifts,
hands.
Lifts with palms.
Lifts with palms.
Lifts with palms. What were you?
Lift and squeeze, was it? Did we? We went to the
video.
No,
there was no squeeze.
Okay. We didn't quite get to the squeeze in the end. You were run fast once.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He had the best one.
That's right. What was my one?
You were leads with fist.
Leads with fist.
Yes.
Leads with fist, yes. We're all together.
How are we going?
The tribe is together.
How are we going? How'd the team go on the weekend? You know, I'm not across the B grade. How'd we go?
Look, just bank the points and
just
moving
bank
on.
The
just
bank
the points.
Moving on. Moving okay. On. Two and
early
zip.
Doors. Early doors. Zip. Early doors.
Two and zip. I'll very make sure I doors. Read further down when I read the results.
We're going to find out what's up with Rita very, very shortly. After 2 o'clock, we've got the latest in the world of sports, Sports Central Plus there. Looking forward to that. Finding out what the SEN newsroom have come up with through the last 24 hours or so. Adam Peacock from Fox Sports will join us as well to discuss the ultimate. Not the penultimate, the ultimate round of home and away football for the Hyundai A-League, round 27, the last one before we get into finals action. We'll talk with Peacock about that. Matty Russell from Fox Sports will preview NRL round 8 action. And after 3, Nathan Thompson with a big Anzac weekend of football, particularly here on 11.16 SEN Melbourne's home of footy. He'll come in for the Friday footy preview. Lots to look forward to with Tomo. Richo,
yes,
before...
This leads with fist.
I just want to go through the Zurich Classic of New Orleans just quickly for our golf fans, because I know your mate Brendan Dion.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful player.
Yeah, Korean.
Not quite.
North Korean. Well, he's related.
Well, no. Zimbabwe is not really close.
Well, what's his name?
Brendan Dion.
Okay, so it's very close to...
The J is a Y.
Right.
He's leading all comers at 8 under par, Boo weekly. He's tied with Boo at 8 under.
So he's shooting lights out.
David Hearn and Sean O'Hare, 7 under. Daniel Berger, Eric Compton, Brian Davis, Mark Hubbard and Greg Owen at 6 under. Best of the Aussies.
Greg
Jason
Owen?
Day. Yeah,
from Greg England? Owen.
Yeah, right. Correct.
Okay.
6 under. Jason Day, best of the Aussies at 5 under. Stephen Bowditch, 4 under. Cameron Smith, not the rugby league one, not the Melbourne Storm champ. He's 3 under. Robert Allenby and all his fans, he's 2 under with Jared Lyle. And a couple of others at over par there.
Perfect.
But not
Thanks
a bad performance on the first day.
Terrific
of
update.
Action for the Aussies in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans.
Terrific update. Were you concerned? That,
I was concerned.
That the princess hadn't prepared her WhatsApp.
No, far
from. I've just finished it.
No, I know.
And it's awesome.
She's all over it.
It's kind of, you know, mixed topics. It's, you know, it goes from the serious to the absurd.
So what we've got there, Richo, early
is
a suggestion that there's more than one topics. She said topics.
Yeah, we can't have a blockbuster three-parter every week.
Well, we're pleased to hear that. We're even more pleased to hear what you've got. Today.
If you haven't read her column or her blog, if you haven't seen her on TV and you don't follow her on Twitter, well, now's your chance to find out what's up with Rita.
What's up with those who loathe this country and all it stands for settling here? I don't care if you were born here or a migrant like me. If you don't appreciate this great country and its cherished, hard-fought-for values of freedom and equality, then can I suggest you find somewhere else to live that better suits your worldview? I think we all know what I'm talking about. What's up with Australia's unfunniest comedian and world-class tool, Charlie Pickering, getting a show on the ABC? It was one thing for him to bring his special brand of Flog Them to Channel 10's awful project program, but why are my taxes being wasted on his painfully lame imitation of The Daily Show on the ABC? And finally, what's up? This is a serious one. This is I'm passionate about.
Bit light on so far.
What's up with KFC messing with the hot and spicy chicken deliciousness that they're famous for? Every Kentucky Fried Chicken enthusiast will know this. Their hot and spicy chook, particularly their leg and thigh pieces, reach a level of cyrilness that exceed all other fast food. That goodness is available to Queenslanders all year round, but Victorians only get 1 month a year where we can feast on hot and spicy chicken. Now they've gone and ruined everything by having only hot and spicy boneless chicken. Hey KFC, stop messing with stuff! Join me next week. What's up? Hey, Rita Patty. You don't know what I'm talking about because you've never been to KFC, have you, Half? Huh?
Well, not of recent time.
You, Richard, I know you've never been to KFC in your recent, life.
Not of Half.
Last 10 years.
I predicted this, that we might be a little light on. So I've gone and prepared what's wrong with Richo. Let's pretend we've got the same sound. Ready? Let's go.
Have you seriously prepared something?
What's wrong with Richo? Music. Here we go.
There we go.
Oh, I have to just fast forward this bit.
Yeah. Okay, you ready?
Hang on, no, because fast forward.
Have we got three topics?
There
we go.
What's wrong with my beloved Carlton Football Club?
Oh, here we go.
Easy one. Go for
it. I implore my football club administration to hold, Harvey, its bloody nerve.
Nerve.
The football world are coming at you. Regarding the future of our senior coach, AFL 360, On the Couch Footy Classified, The Footy Show, SEN Crunch Time, SEN Hungry for Sport, have all put Malthouse's future on their agenda. Now, I'm not a sycophantic Mick Malthouse love child, but I thoroughly respect his coaching skills, the Persian Princess, and his credentials to get the job done and turn around the fortunes of this club. There's no hiding from the fact that over a five-year period, the Carlton recruiters got it horribly, horribly wrong. And those mistakes are laid bare for all of us to see at the moment. That's a fact. But to turn this ship around, Half, and this is where you come in, Leeds with Fist, it takes time, it takes patience, but this is where you come in. Nerves of steel. Now, Mark LeJudice, our big man, Prison. The Prez, lead from the front here, big man. I'm talking to you. I know you're listening, Mark.
Gooch.
Back your coach, batten down the hatches, hold your nerve. You know what? I think about the great William Wallace.
So do I. A lot.
They were battling the Scots versus the pasty English.
Yeah.
And the English were charging at them. They got to about the 500-metre mark and they're charging. They're bloodthirsty.
Well, they just one out, one back.
And the Scots just stood in a line. And what did William say? Hold. They got within 300.
What did he say?
Hold. Because he had a big plan ready. Keep that music going. He had a big plan. They got within 100. Some of the Scots got scared.
What did
William say? Hold. Hold your nerve, Blue Boys. This is my final message for the Carlton president. It's a personal message. His name, of course, is Mark LeJudice, but I like to call him Marky Mark. Hold your nerve, Marky Mark, or you'll be left with a funky bunch.
He may or may not be next here. What's wrong with Richo?
Okay, solid work, Richo.
That was solid. When we're talking single topic epics, that's what we're after.
Well, it was very passionate, short on logic, but
it wasn't.
He quoted William Wallace.
I've got William Wallace. I've got Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
But I don't know if Malthouse is William Wallace. I don't reckon. You know, is he the age and temperament?
Mark LeJudice.
Marky Mark's LeJudice.
He's the one who's got a hold.
Yeah, but you're presuming there that Malthouse is the right man
if you're going to rebuild a footy club,
What's
the use in putting in a young coach wet behind the ears? You're going to rebuild. Have the old wise master to do it. He won't taste success himself, but if you make him buy into the plan, he'll set the foundations for future success.
So just because he's been successful in the past,
he has the ability to do it.
That means that ability never leaves him. He never loses it. Okay.
He can build a culture.
Well, then why don't you just get Sheeds? Or why don't you, I don't know, go out and get...
Well, Sheeds is busy.
Surely there's a life cycle with coaches. There's a point where, you know, what they can do is not what they used to be able to do at their peak.
So you don't think he's got it anymore?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just looking at the results.
And neither do I, but I tell you what.
And I think most of the criticism isn't personal.
Is absolutely horrendous.
Surely he's got to take some ownership of that list. Has he had no say in recruitment in the last couple of years?
There are mistakes made 5 years ago that are laying bare right now. That he had no control over that.
He's had some control of recent.
Of the last 2 years. But they're kids that haven't even played yet. You can't
but
judge
went
them.
In there. He went in there for forget them to be a top 14. He wasn't sent in there to rebuild.
He got that wrong.
Well, then, if his judgment's so wrong that he looked at the
list and said this is a premiership team. Leads with fist until you get into a club.
No, you can see who the players are. You've seen them play. You're not going in blind.
It's thin because as soon as you get an injury to Daisy Thomas and to Cruiser and these types, then it shows where your depth is, and that's where they're totally inadequate because of horrendous recruiting over a five-year period. And we could go through the stats. I mean, they recruited 20-something guys, and there's about 19 of them that are no longer there. They absolutely butchered it.
Is that recruiting
gone.
Team? They're not. They're all
gone. Gone.
Okay.
So it's not Mick, but if you're going to rebuild, don't you want to? You've got to hold your nerve.
He's so grumpy
these
days.
Well, you've got to hold your nerve, just depending on the decision you've made.
What about coming out and talking about? You know, the criticism having an effect on his wife. I mean, I think that's just, you know, he's not new to the game. He knows what he's in for. Hmm. All coaches cop criticism. To come out and play the wife card, I thought was a little bit cynical.
He does cop it more than most does, Mick, though.
Now, we're only round three, and for his future to be the lead agenda item with, you know, crunch time and hungry for sport and all the shows,
they need
it's round
to talk
three.
About.
It seems a small sample size.
Small sample. If you listen to Pure Footy yesterday, it's exactly what it is. Small sample.
So don't you just hold your nerve. And if you're going to rebuild, rebuilding doesn't, you know, you've got the list now.
Are the fans, are the Carlton fans with him? That's the important thing. I mean, that's what's going to sway the ball.
It's the administration. They're the ones making the decision.
Well,
what are they saying?
If the fans turn, then the administration typically weakens.
So you
and the sponsors and, you know,
the easiest thing to do, and I thought Mark Thompson was fantastic on Open Mic.
The TV edition of JYB, of course.
Correct.
There you go. That could be a nice replacement.
And I thought he was fantastic when he said, stop sacking coaches. If I had one thing to say to boards, hold your nerve. Don't sack a coach all the
Bomber
time.
Bomber said this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a former coach. What do you expect him to say? Go sack
but
more
coaches.
It
has a lot of logic. They were going to sack him. They held their nerve, Geelong, and then they had a golden
era. You know what? But there have been plenty of coaches sacked, and the replacement's gone in there and done a fantastic job as well. If you don't sack them, they're not going to resign on their own.
Who jumps off the page to be better than Mick that you want to? You want Mick replacement?
Well, you mentioned Bomber.
Does he want to coach?
Well, he wanted to last year. He didn't.
He's emphatic with his view that that's not for him anymore.
Well, it was 6 months ago, and we all know Bomber changes his mind.
Now. A month ago, it wasn't.
Well, maybe a month from now will be.
It may well be. I'm more concerned about your chicken. To be honest,
seriously, this KFC issue, it's got me upset because I've gone to Queensland just for hot and spicy chicken. Years ago, not recently.
They've taken
sorry, I thought you meant
not recently.
They've taken the bone out of it.
Well, that's cool.
Without the bone,
I don't want a bone.
No, it ruins it. It dries it out. It's completely ruined. If I wanted to get a zinger fillet, I could do that any time of the year. I want my hot and spicy chicken, like chicken comes with bones.
That's
put the bones back in.
That's the only way you know it's chicken.
That's it. It could be anything if it's got no bones.
I don't want to be picking bones, eating around bones if I'm eating fast food. Fast food's not about bones.
Nothing frustrates me more.
They brought it in for the drivers because the drivers can just eat it. But you know what? Hot and spicy is too good to be eating in the car. You need to pull aside and have a meal.
Well, you should be eating in the car anyway.
I don't like eating in the car.
And drive with a hot and spicy with a bone, like a breast.
No, I'm saying... Oh yeah, I think that's what they've brought it in for the drive-through market.
There's no fast food bones in my world. There's to be no bone.
The hot and spicy chicken, I tell you, it is something else. It is of all the fast food that's ever been in the world, it's the peak.
Look at all the carbon.
It's the Lee Matthews of fast food.
Is it? That's important.
Elite.
See, I'm not a massive KFC type hot and spicy.
Well, yeah, I know for a fact that Richo's never been there. He probably drives around.
Garbage. I've been there. But
rubbish.
I would never go to hot and spicy because I tell you what, the Colonel with his famous herbs and spices got it right the first time.
No.
He
did.
He did. He knew what he was
You know
doing.
What?
Is
how good it
secret?
Is.
Nah.
He's kept the recipe a secret.
That's how cool it was. True. A bit of feedback early doors for me. I so agree with you on this, reader. Shut up, Huff. KFC needs to have a bone. Thank you for that.
Bring back the bone.
It's bone free here on Halftime. Murray's in Geelong. G'day, Muzz.
Good morning to three cheeky people.
Thank you, Muzz.
Afternoon, Muzz.
Now, what's up with Richo?
Talk to me, Muzz.
Are we going to give away three father-sons for the first draft pick?
Ooh, I don't know how good the three father sons
are. Can you name them, Richo?
Yeah, there's young Silvani, young Bradley, and young Rice.
And Fried as well, or what?
And what?
And Fried. Fried Rice.
I said Rice.
You said Rice.
Yeah, and watch out when you...
So what's is this a trivia question from you, Muzz? Or...
No. Now, Richo.
Yes, Muzz.
Watch your words before you said you like you wouldn't drive and eat a breast.
Well, you shouldn't drive two abreast in a single lane. That's what he's meaning.
Yeah,
well,
it's hard to keep your eyes on the road if you've otherwise occupied.
Thanks, Muzz. Thanks, Muzz. Yeah, single file and a single lane, thanks. Double breasted if you've got the two lanes. I'm not sure where we go there. Phil's in Geelong. Hello, Phil.
Crew, how are we going?
Good.
Good, thanks, Phil.
So I wholeheartedly agree with Rita regarding Charlie Pickering.
What's wrong with Charlie?
This bloke, he starts off as some unkempt grub driving the cash cab, which is...
Driving the what?
Oh, the cash cab. He used to have this ridiculous show where he used to drive around in a cab that had porno lights in it, basically asking trivia questions to drunken patrons who might...
I'm not aware of this.
$100.
I was never offered that lift.
Mate. Yeah, it was cringeworthy to begin with. Charlie Pickering's about as funny as an ingrown toenail. And then he gravitates to that left-wing echo chamber called The Project.
Worst show ever.
And gave a departure speech about as long as Dame Nellie Melba's.
Oh, that was hilarious. I've heard about this.
Pathetic. I nearly spewed.
So I've got a feeling, Richo, that Phil is not in the camp of Charlie Pickering.
I wouldn't say he's a fan.
Team Pickering.
I sense that. And I sense that the princess doesn't like Charles either. And I know we've got to get to a break.
Yes,
and when we come back from the break, once we take all our callers, then we need to put the other big television issue on the agenda.
Is there another one?
Where our girl, I mean, I was outraged because she was this week besmirched.
Oh, I was.
Officially
defamed.
Besmirched.
Officially.
She was defamed. Brilliant.
I've had lawyers
awesome.
Call me.
I'm gonna
offering to represent me.
It was pro smirching.
Bono.
We're going to find out more about this besmirching very, very shortly. Oh. But we've got calls responding to what's up with Rita and what's wrong with Richo. A little Carlton flavour in the Richo section of play today. Michael's on the road. G'day, Michael.
Daniel, good afternoon. Richo.
Yes, Mike.
Rita. Richo, good on you. Good on you. It's about time somebody came out and supported Mick Malthouse. So many people want to jump on the bandwagon and put him down. I absolutely agree with you. Give him time. Be patient. Be very patient. Wait till I get 100 metres from you. And when you're talking to Mark Lagoudache, when they have the next board meeting, tell him to go and order some KFC.
Well, I think that could be good advice. I'm not, and half knows this, and so does the princess. I've never been a massive Mick fan, but I'll tell you what, the easiest thing to do is just turn over the coach. But you know what? Just hold your nerve. If you're going to rebuild, hold your nerve with what the the coaching structure's there.
But if he's no good, you can't. I mean, you've just.
Well, you go and ask their key players if he's no good. And they rate him. And that's from guys who have been around the block who are elite. With a capital E.
So you're talking about just Chris Judd there?
They rate him.
Okay, Chris likes
him. All the Chris Judds.
All the Chris Judds like him? Who else is
guys
that?
Of that ilk rate him.
Dale, okay. So there's two.
Guys of that ilk rate him.
Thank you, Michael, for your call.
He's the guy to let him rebuild.
Okay.
Let's get through these. Stephen Lilydale. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I've had up the pussy's bow with Carlton Jason. I'd rather hear about the Essendon drug saga, to be honest.
Go
for it, Steve.
I just wanted to talk to you about Charlie Pickering. I like Charlie Pickering, and I suppose that's going to bring up some ridicule for me. But I can't believe that you would bag someone for having a political bias when all we hear from you is political bias.
Yeah, well
I mean,
said,
you,
Steve.
You can't complain
yeah,
about...
a great point, Steve.
It's an impressive point.
That's a great point, Steve.
You can't complain about Charlie Pickering until you complain about...
I actually
about
didn't
Andrew
mention
Cole.
Any
Listen
political
Steve,
bias,
please.
Steve. When did I actually mention political bias in that my little spiel?
You did. You mentioned that he was a left.
No, I actually didn't. Do you want me to read it out again? That was one of our talkback callers who said that.
No,
I didn't say any of that.
You mentioned that.
I didn't mention it. Okay. I can read it out to you again.
Just 1 sec, Steve. Let's go to it.
I called him a tosser. I called him Australia's unfunniest comedian.
Sure
actually, I'll read it out again. What's up with Australia's unfunniest comedian, world-class tool Charlie Pickering,
just
getting a show on the ABC? It was one thing for him to bring his special brand of Flog Them to Channel 10's Awful Project program, but why are my taxes being wasted on his painfully lame imitation of The Daily Show on the ABC?
Not a lot
Where
of
in there did I mention
Steve,
Wing?
Steve?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure where you've changed the word to flogged them.
No, we can go to the tape. No, flogged them.
Steve, just say you're wrong.
Just say I'm a tool. I got it wrong. I'm a Charlie Pickering fan. I don't know what's happening in the world.
Just say it. Just own it, Steve.
But until you bag Andrew Bolt, I don't think you can start bagging Charlie Pickering.
Well, yeah, I can because I've got my own opinions. What do you mean? I've got to bag everybody equally to your satisfaction? Yes. When have you bagged Charlie Pickering?
Me? I've never had to.
So why should I have to pretend to like Charlie Pickering to satisfy your weird...
It's getting way too much airtime on my show, I reckon, Charlie Pickering today.
I don't even understand this. Way too much airtime.
Thank you, Steve. Phil's in North Fitzroy. G'day, Phil.
Let's go back to Carlton.
G'day, guys. How are we going?
Good.
Good, Phil.
Okay.
Rich,
I'm hungry.
Yes, Phil.
I swear, man, if anyone was thinking like you, it would be all right for Carlton Blue Boys. I'm a passionate Carlton supporter, and I'm sick and tired of getting stirred, and we were a powerhouse. And it's Marco Giudice, that's the Italian version, should grow some you-know-what and re-sign Moldhouse, and he's the man that's going to bring us forward.
There you go.
Okay.
So the sentiment I'm getting today from our... Thank you, Phil, for your call. Sentiment
for the Carlton
I'm getting today
fans.
From the Carlton people is that one of the questions you raised before, Richard, or you raised...
I raised.
Are the Carlton faithful with Mick?
It's the mood of the
feeling. And I thought no.
I hadn't thought initially no, but there's been some very positive feedback to your suggestion today that they need to, William Wallace-style, hold!
But
I mean, we can learn a lot from William.
Fans are typically loyal. Like, for fans to turn against a player or a coach... is, you know, it sort of has, things have to be diabolical.
But the day you're led by what all the fans think, I mean, surely you have the strength of character as an administration who are elected by the fans to say, we have been put in this place to make informed decisions, so we are going to back ourselves.
Okay. It's just, you seem to have this blind faith in the man because Chris Judd likes him.
No,
and possibly
it's got nothing to do with... No.
Well, it seems to be.
My default position is don't go for the easy, low-hanging fruit.
It's not easy to sack him because you have to replace him with somebody very well credentialed.
It's easy to sack the coach.
It's always the first port of call, isn't it?
Yeah, only if you've got a first-rate replacement. Sacking a coach, I agree, is easy. But if you've managed to secure someone who is...
Well, there's been many scenarios in recent years where the coach has just been sacked with no replacement.
Yeah, that I agree.
Then we go through the international search, of course.
Then we go through the search. And if you're trying to rebuild your club, you know... Just have some sort of consistency.
How bad does it need to get for you to lose faith in Milk and say, okay, he's not the man? Like, do you need to go...
This is... The climb back from the disgusting recruiting of 5 years is another 5 years away.
Oh, jeez.
Well, hang on.
That's just accepting mediocrity.
No, but just think about...
Five-year rebuilds.
So for the last 2 years, let's just presume they got the recruiting right. Those kids are 18 and 19. So the sweet spot's... Leads with fist, what, 24 to 27?
Well,
you want your players, your best players, 24 to... Okay, so you've got to wait that. Look at the Hawthorn unbelievable team now is because you had a group of guys from 23 to 27 all at the same time coming through after you finished on the bottom of the ladder and you recruited, you know, Hodge number one.
Yeah, we sacked a coach and we got a new one to do the rebuild.
But also you got the recruiting right because you got Hodgie. And then you came all the way through with quality players, all the way through great recruiting at the right spot.
Recruiting's very
important. Carlton's a long way away from that. 5 years.
Thank you, Phil. Move on to Billy and Berwick. G'day,
it's
Billy.
A lot of pain. Five years of pain.
Disgusting.
Your daughters are going to turn, you know. They're going to find new teams.
Hey, Billy's on.
Sorry, Billy.
Happy Friday, my friend.
And to you.
I think one thing today has brought out that what's up with Richo is far more worthy next week of the 3 points than Rita's. And Rita can have one, Richo, three.
See, I can't even criticise that because I'm on board with that.
No, no.
And that means less work for me.
And
yes,
I'm not,
please.
It's not what's up.
No.
It's what's wrong.
It's what's wrong.
What's wrong?
You're being phased out is what you're being, Rita, according to Billy. Well, he's got a solid point today, a very solid point. Billy, thanks for getting involved. Stewie's on the road. G'day, Stu.
How are you?
Good.
With Richo, I agree with you on Moldhouse, but I think the same thing might happen to him that happened to William Wallace. He might get shafted and had his body parts spread all around Scotland.
I think you could be right. Ever since I've watched William Wallace, I've carried around a dirty hanky. I think that was my message that I got out of it and the weird face paint. But
I've never actually watched it. Is it worth
Huffy,
putting it on the catch-up list?
Did you just hear that?
What'd she say?
Never. I've seen a little tiny bit.
She said, I've never watched William Wallace. I've never watched Braveheart.
No, never. There's a whole bunch of sort of really.
Braveheart?
Yeah, never. And he's in the country, I think.
Who is William?
Mel. No, Mel. It was up in Ballarat.
William?
No. So you reckon it's worth catching up on?
Braveheart. You've got to see Braveheart.
Has it aged? Is it still going to carry the same?
The fact that it's still got the same cachet. It was on during the week. It was on during the week, and
I've heard it's very gory. That's
why
my point is.
You know, what we don't touch on was, you know, the great face painting.
Yeah, there should be more of that.
I mean, what William was bringing
do you
to the table
was a stall set up out the front of the wall.
The decision to go with a light blue, like the pale sky blue on one side of his face, controversial.
Would you do that again?
I would have gone a stronger colour.
I would have gone a navy, a deep navy.
Would have gone yellow, just mixed it all up. Beachy.
Richo and Aruda with us until 2, of course, in the Sports Central Plus, all the latest in the world of sport. Adam Peacock, Matty Russell, and after 3, the People's Hamstring, the National Tipping Champion, Nathan Thompson, with the Friday Footy Preview.
Glamour Boy. Also, SMS is coming through.
Yes.
And someone wants to remain anonymous.
Right.
They've done a quick search. There's not one Chinese lady in 5,000 years called Beryl.
Hell.
Now,
I would have thought there would have been Beryl Chans left, right, and centre.
Can't believe it. Not one. 5,000 years.
I wonder in all of Australia if there is a Beryl under, say, 25. Even just one.
I don't reckon.
I reckon.
Too many
one
Beryls.
Beryl
you think there would be
under 25. I tell you what, we'll give you every prize
we've got left.
We've got left, and every prize next week.
But we need a driver's license, birth certificate. You can't just call
a
in
Beryl,
and say, my name is.
If you know
Beryl.
A Beryl under 25, we want to see their driver's license. Is that fair?
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Well, I can give you all the prizes this week.
Or birth certificate.
I haven't got next
week. I'm going to give prices to you.
We just save it for when
I'm
going to
bring
Tuesday.
Them a price from home. Okay? If
like,
you can
like
find
your
it.
Kitchen, which is unwrapped still.
Never been used.
Never been used.
Retained.
Too many Beryls.
You've never pulled it out.
Why would you pull it out?
You know, they make the sound go.
No one's got a button.
Oh, nice.
And my dear grandmother, wow, Mabel. There wouldn't be too many Mabels floating around either.
Have you got a grandmother Mabel?
Well, I did have before she's
really?
Visited the big fella upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah. Mabel's a great name. There should be more Mabels out there.
Well, I know a little girl called Pearl, and I was thinking there won't be too many Pearls around. So sometimes you'll find.
There's an odd one. Just flitters through.
Hey, talking about funny names and funny moments, my youngest. Little 8-year old,
yeah,
had a interview for the future to go to her new school. So they sit down with the.
You would go to the sort of school that requires interviews beforehand.
They have to have an interview.
They sit down with the
does
principal.
Does she have to bring her resume?
They sit down with the principal, and the principal asks some nice questions, gives them a little package, and say, you know, when you eventually come here, welcome, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Anyway, so they ask him, what's your favourite subject? And she's only in grade 3, you know, art, and I love sport and all that. Anyway, so she said, oh, do you play a musical instrument? And starts chatting away.
Does she?
No.
No.
Oh, well, you know, in grade 4 we do percussion and in grade 5 we do wind and blah, blah. And she goes, yeah, my sister does the wind instrument. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's great. What does she do? She said, well, yeah, that one that they do with the hand that comes out. Is that the trombone?
I think so, yeah.
The trombone.
Trombone, yep.
She said, but we didn't actually know that she had the trombone. Anyway, I was sitting there with Granny after school one day, and all of a sudden we heard, and we all turned and went, Granny, do you mind?
She did say
this. She tells this to the principal.
To the principal.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, anyway, Danny, that's the principal is.
Has she been accepted already before this
they've
interview?
Said, listen, we'll just consider her for the future.
Excellent.
Oh, that is terrific.
How good is that? Tells a fart story. To
at
a principal
at
a future school. Yeah, at the school interview.
Now, you must be so proud.
I'm like, be so proud. That's so great. That's fantastic.
And what did Granny say just when she was thrown that accusation?
Well, Granny wasn't in the interview, naturally.
Well, but at the time.
Oh, they all giggled and said, don't be silly. And
well, Granny.
Out came the trombone playing member of the team. Oh, that is.
Andrew Neltona's on the line. He might have some Beryl action for us.
Oh, hang on.
Hello, Andrew.
Beryl.
Hey, gang. Hey, going all and Rita.
Hey, Andrew. I'm part of all.
She's part of all.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no gender specifics to all.
No gender, no. My wife's name, auntie's name's Beryl,
and she's 94 years of age, well, 94 and a half now.
Yeah, that's the demographic. Yeah, we've got thousands of them. Come from. Now, we want one under 25.
Well, Rita, you might be able to change your name and, you know.
She's not under 25.
I wish I was under 25. I would do it for all the prizes in the prize box.
Would you?
Like, I'll do a Whiskers, like Gary Hocking.
No, well, I haven't heard one yet, Andrew. Thanks for getting involved. Not a lot of barrel action. No. Even an SMS. Normally there's an SMS that says, I know a barrel is 16. All the ones that we know at this stage, the barrels are 7 or 6, and they're dogs.
There's no... They're dogs.
Okay. Barrels for dogs.
Okay.
No barrel champ.
Hang
dogs.
On. There is a Beryl Friday who's on the Queensland Firebirds list in the ANZ Championship. She's 22 years of age, says Ben in Hillside, and he knows stuff.
He does know stuff about
it. Okay,
the
let's Google this. What's because name? I want some sort of confirmation.
Beryl Friday? Is it like casual Friday?
No one has a name. No
Beryl Friday.
Beryl Friday?
No.
There is not a Beryl Friday.
When's Friday been a surname?
Goal attack, goal shooter.
She is not.
Nickname?
Okay.
Casual.
Bez. Nickname should be casual.
Has she picked that name for comedic value, or is that the name her parents gave her?
No. Well,
because I'm thinking the whole name's made up, Beryl Friday.
I don't buy it
for a second.
Friday.
Good God.
She's born in 1994. She's 21 years of age.
That is extraordinary.
As the lady in Ghostbusters used to say, we got one!
Oh.
That might be the only Beryl.
That is.
Well,
what did you say, under 25, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I'm shocked that she exists.
Well, she's a relative of ours.
Well, she's part of the Casual Friday family, of course, that's right.
Does it say anything there about, you know, if that's a stage name? Is that a real name?
It's not a stage name.
Best thing about playing netball with your friends. Drinking. Training tip for young players, drink plenty of water. Netball goals, play my first season with the Firebirds, make the Australian Diamonds. She's a young lady with ambition. We wish her the best of luck. That's what we do for the Queensland Firebirds, who had a big win last week in the ANZ Championship.
What about Super Sarah over in Yarraville?
Let's find out what she's got for us. G'day, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
I know a Mabel who's only 4.
See, I reckon Mabel's a cool
kid. Oh, no, Mabel's not Beryl, though. Sarah's good. I mean, that's quality, but...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mabel's a cool name.
Oh,
I reckon Mabel is a very trendy name. She's a trendy young lass, is she, Sarah?
Yeah, she's a very stylish young girl.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to hear that Mabel's still kicking around. That's great news.
That's fantastic.
For all the Mabel fans. It's a bit more trendy than Beryl, I reckon, Mabel.
I've got a bit of boom tish here from someone sent me a little SMS, Anonymous.
Not the solution.
They've got the in-laws, Beryl and Merv.
Beryl and Merv. That's a great combination.
And what about this one? This is the boom tish. Merv shaved off his mo for Movember.
Not Merv Hughes.
For $1,000, and I offered Beryl $2,000 to shave hers.
That's good stuff. Great work.
I can't believe all the angst. Isn't it Anzac Day, Australia and New Zealand?
Yes.
They're playing it at 1 o'clock in New Zealand. It just happens to be 11 o'clock here. Surely, so be it.
Is there angst, is there?
Angst that I've heard about people saying it's disrespecting to have something at 11 o'clock into Australia.
Because you're supposed to not have something before.
It's in New Zealand. I think it's the perfect scenario to pay respects for the NZ part of Anzac.
Yes.
Play it at 1 o'clock there.
You've got to take into account their wishes as well. I mean, they were part of, I see what you're saying.
I cannot believe the angst. We
don't own it.
No, that's right.
We're a big part of it. Significant part of it. But we don't own it because we've got our friends over there, the Dutch.
Yeah.
We're just as important throughout the whole
thing. Damn straight. And if they want to have a game at 11 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, so be it.
I'm okay with that. I wasn't aware there was that much angst.
It was brought up again today. I've heard it on radio stacks of times. People are antsy about it.
There's a lot of people antsy about lots of
everything.
Stuff.
You know what they need to do? Hold!
People are coming up with all sorts of requests now. Now that we've found a Beryl under 25, wanting us to find Barry's under 25, Phyllis, Graham. There's a request for a Graham. Two requests for Graham. So we're not doing this.
A Graham or a Graham?
We found Beryl.
We found Beryl. That's fine. We wanted to find a Beryl. And we found one. She plays for the Queensland Firebirds. Good luck to her. 21-year-old.
She's not just a Beryl. She's
a star. Goal shooter. Tall timber too, she looks.
And is it... Would we look for a Graham or a Grahimi?
A Grahimi. There's only one Grahimi. Of course, one of the great Indian bowlers of all time, Grahimi Lebroy.
So what is the Grahimis who throw the E on the end of that
No, what about the ones who just omit the H and go with an E in the middle?
Well, they have to put an E on the end there, those suckers.
Yeah. Those why have two spellings of the same name? I mean, really? Why make things
beautifully
difficult for them?
Said.
Why?
Why?
And why name your daughter Kirsty or Christy? Because no one could remember which one it is. That is my pet hate.
Now that is
that's a great.
That is there are women I've known for 20 years, and when I see them, I'm like Kirsty or Christy. And it's just like,
you know what? They walk towards me, and I feel sick in my stomach.
That is stop making us feel sick. Don't name your daughter Kirsty or Christy.
Well, what do? You go. You just look at them, and you're thinking,
hey, K-Town. Gotta go with something.
K-Town. Yeah, dog.
You have just nailed it. Because what is it with that name?
It's one of those names. There's only one that I get right every time. A Christy. It's the only one I get right every time.
She must be special.
Otherwise, there is grey area in my mind.
Now, the key is getting to know them. You've got to get to know them. If you've only got a sort of a passing relationship.
An acquaintance
relationship. You're no chance. Once you've got one locked down, then you're good.
But then if you make an error then it looks really bad.
You know what's you know the other one? Mm. Twins. Oh, they kill me. I'll walk the other side of the road rather than see a twin that I know because I don't want to get it wrong.
It's a shocking thing. It's very uncomfortable. Graeme Illawarra, of course, was Sri Lanka.
Yeah, Graeme.
Graeme. And not a lot of Maureens going around anymore. A bit of feedback coming via the SMS.
Oh, there's a
lot
few
of Maureens in primary school.